Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, visiting with Gregory Copley, my friend, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. He's in the Southern Hemisphere, in Perth, Australia, regarding the Indian Ocean, the Indo-Pacific. We're going to East Africa and West Africa. As the Financial Times says, this is the largest battle zone not noticed by the European and American media in the galaxy right now. The headline in the FT, How Sudan's Devastating Civil War Became a Global Battleground. Subhead, 150,000 dead, millions displaced, states including Russia, Iran, and the UAE are jockeying for influence. But the conflict still flies under the radar for London and New York and Washington. Gregory, we've touched on Sudan on and off these last years because of Ethiopia. The war in Sudan is now two sides. Once it was one side supporting Bashir, the dictator. That's gone. The two sides are Russia's side and not Russia's side. They're fighting for control of the Sudan, but that also means they're fighting at the edge of Ethiopia. First of all, the Sudan war, is it now in the hands of Moscow and Beijing and nothing to be done?
No, I wouldn't say that. I think it's very much in a state of flux, although it's quite clear that the Sudan Armed Forces, which has become the de facto government under General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, who's the de facto president, has the upper hand over the former, what was called the Rapid Support Forces under Mohamed Dagalo, known as Hameti, and they both had joined together to throw out al-Bashir about 4 or 5 years ago, and now they're at war with each other. The problem with the RSF forces, the former regional forces under Hameti, they have been committing atrocious atrocities in order to literally cling to some control of some land. They're losing that to the Sudan Armed Forces, and the Sudan Armed Forces are particularly aligned with countries such as Russia, no question about it. But for the FT to call this the largest war unnoticed in the West is a mistake. The Sudan war, by the FT's own standards, and we believe it, has about 150,000 killed so far. If you look at across at neighboring Ethiopia, the civil war there over the past 2 to 3 years has already cost over 2 million dead and 26 million internally displaced refugees. So it goes to show that the West is not paying attention to that entire region. Egypt is coming in and supporting General al-Burhan with the Sudan Armed Forces. So that's going to be, I think, most critical. But Russia is in there because it knows that it needs to show some continuity in Sudan if it is going to link up with the rest of sub-Saharan Africa, which it is wooing with great zeal, something we haven't seen since the 1960s. Ironically, fighting the rapid support forces in Sudan on behalf of the Sudan Armed Forces are Ukrainian mercenaries. What are they doing, abandoning the war for the survival of Ukraine against Russia? But here we find in Sudan they're working with the Russians against the Hameti's forces, the rapid support forces. And we're seeing Ukrainian mercenaries going throughout the region, including, for example, Ethiopia itself. But elsewhere in Africa, Ukrainian mercenaries are being deployed by the Ukrainian government, just as Russia is deploying its own mercenaries in many areas through the successors of the Wagner Group, particularly in Mali, Niger, and Burkina Faso. But you've got a situation where Russia is now permeating the region very, very effectively because they're offering practical support for the governments that they're engaged with, whereas the Chinese really can't offer much. The Chinese have been putting very, very poorly performing weapon systems into Africa, and the Africans don't trust them anymore, and the Chinese can't put in money. So the Russians are now going in there, literally trading their military support, with including weapons, for oil for gold, rather. And in the case of the Sudanese armed forces, they're exchanging Russian oil into Sudan in exchange for Sudanese gold. Now, they've also had a lot of Iranian unmanned aerial vehicles coming in to support the Sudanese armed forces. And the Iranian unmanned aerial vehicles, even the loitering munitions, aren't really that good, but they are cheap. So you've got that sort of thing going for them. But what's happened in the last little while is that Sierra Leone, Mali, Niger, and Burkina Faso all four of them been talking to the Russian government about acquiring Russian nuclear reactors so that they could get a consistent control over energy for their governments.
We've gone from Africa to West Africa. The Russians are in both places. Please continue, Gregory.
Absolutely. And basically, the Russians are going in there because they're invited and because they're not making judgments. The Sierra Leone government is basically being isolated by the international community and by ECOWAS, the Economic Community for West African States, because of its illegal seizure of government in the last elections. It was done by force and manipulation. So they've been isolated. So they've now joined with Mali, Niger, and Burkina Faso in saying, well, we've got a world of our own. We can deal with each other. We can deal with China. We can deal with Iran and Russia. We don't need no stinking foreigners.
We're not talking about democracies anymore, Gregory. We're talking about strongmen, correct?
Correct. It's a return to that age. Now, interestingly enough, Mali, Niger, and Burkina Faso each had military coups to restore the spirit of democracy, in a sense, from governments which they perceived were elected, but acting undemocratically. Sierra Leone was another matter altogether. It was a highly corrupt government led by a former army brigadier, Brigadier Bio. But they now have common cause. And because of this turning away from the US dollar as a means of transactional payments, this gives Russia, China, for that matter, the whole BRICS momentum in saying, well, we'll deal in other currencies, we'll deal in counter trade and barter, but you don't have to use the US dollar or worry about US government sanctions anymore. So we're seeing Russia making great inroads at this time, even while the West insists that Russia is falling apart, about to have a revolution, and is disenchanted because of President Putin's performance in Ukraine. When in reality, what we see is Russia massively expanding its footprint of influence once again globally, as well as potentially seeing a very advantageous negotiated settlement to the war with Ukraine within the next 6 months.
Is Russia reaching into Nigeria? Is it in conversation with Tinubu? Tinubu was in the news recently by values to the fact that he was flying around in a huge airplane, I believe all by himself in some fashion. Does Tinubu speak with Moscow?
Oh, yes. The Nigerians have always had a negotiating line with Moscow, even during the Soviet period. I remember once when the head of intelligence from Nigeria was going to Moscow, and he called me and asked me to meet him in, I think it was Brussels, en route. So we met before he went in, and I briefed him, and then I debriefed him when he came out. And he said, I've met with the director of Central Intelligence many times, and he really doesn't know anything about Nigeria. But when I spoke with the head of the KGB, he knew all about the current rivalries between the Kano caliphate and various other kingdoms within the country. They knew all about the tribal and local politics of the countries. They knew all about the ethnic and linguistic differences and difficulties. And he said the Russians knew much more about Africa than the Americans ever did.
Well, are we looking at all of West Africa then, part of the business plan for Moscow? One at a time, Gregory. Next would be Liberia, but Nigeria is the prize.
Yes, well, Nigeria is definitely the prize, even though its economy is in dire straits and there's a great potential for dislocation there. As the economy plummets, the value of the Naira has gone through the floor, which is inconceivable considering how low it already was. So Nigeria is in great difficulty, and yet the population is incredibly pliant. They tend to roll with the punches. They live with the fact that they're poor, and they tend to have their own economy outside the official economy of the state. They run their businesses without regard to Abuja, the capital. They grow their crops. They feed themselves as best they can, but they try to stay away from the government, and the shape of the present government was one forced on them by Bill Clinton. When he was U.S. president, he insisted that they abandon their parliamentary form of government and create a mirror image of the U.S. government in Nigeria. Well, most Nigerians felt that this had nothing in common with their traditional way of governance, whether it was through the tribal and chieftaincy and Emirati courts and the like, and the sultanates. And so they just let the politicians go their own way, stealing a lot of the money.
All right,
and the country went its own way.
We have Russia and Sudan, Russia in the Western Africa countries, mercenaries, but those are always accompanying along with state security and diplomats. What about Ethiopia? Is Russia in Addis Ababa?
Oh, yes. Russia and China are both there, and the Ethiopians don't like the Chinese because they basically screwed up the economy and the infrastructure during the previous communist government of the Tigray Popular Liberation Front. But they need some support, and the Chinese have come back in and done that. The Russians are there, and the Russians provided the Ethiopians with military support during their war with Eritrea and with the Tigray Popular Liberation Front in recent years. So, yes, they're there. Whether the Russians value or trust the present government of Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed Ali is another matter. The Russians really have been historically supporting the Ethiopian emperors since Emperor Menelik in 1896, when it was in the Battle of Adwa, where the Ethiopians resoundingly defeated the Italian invading forces, and they did so with modern Russian rifles and other equipment and Russian advisors who really helped Emperor Menelik wipe out the invading force of Italians in 1896 at the Battle of Adwa. Frankly, the Russians maintained a strong interest because they are both Ethiopia and Russia are Orthodox Christian countries. So Russia is particularly devoted to that. And this gives them a great advantage over Turkey, which has been trying to woo its place into Ethiopian influence, but at the same time trying to build more and more radical mosques in Ethiopia to challenge the Christian, historically Christian community there.
I just want to summarize. We have Russia, Moscow, and Beijing, and we do not have much presence for the U.S. State Department. Is the European Union paying attention? 30 seconds.
No, the European Union and the U.K. are out to lunch at the moment, and it's going to be difficult for them to get back.
So we're going to go to a place where democracy is very strong, and so are the smiles, the Highland Games, Healing Games, and the King Charles Report. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. you know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.